An entitled Karen and her family lie to me about how many people are staying in my Airbnb, claiming that they only had 6 people in the cabin that I own, when in reality there was secretly double the amount. And once I confronted them with this, they not only refused to leave, but they also demanded a refund. And I've honestly never been more blown away by somebody's dishonesty in my life. Here's what happened. Okay, so my wife and I own a mountain cabin, and a few years ago we decided to put it on Airbnb. This place is a remote A-frame on 3 acres of forested land with awesome views, and it's about 30 minutes from a ski resort. This was our first Airbnb, so we were pretty cautious about everything. We looked at past guest reviews, asking them about their trip to make sure this place would suit them well, basically trying to make sure we knew who was going to be there. Everything was going pretty well. That is, until the entitled people of this story booked the whole weekend for Thanksgiving. They told us they were driving out from Texas, and it was supposed to be a mom, a dad, 3 kids, and 2 dogs. Now, being that this was our first holiday rental, we went all out for them. We set a turkey to defrost in the fridge for them and left out a snack platter and a couple bottles of champagne. They arrived Sunday night, and the next few days are an absolute nightmare. I get a 6 o'clock in the morning call Monday morning. The whole family is puking and they are incredibly sick. They all had altitude sickness. For reference, the cabin is at 11,000 feet above sea level. So this does happen, especially when you aren't in shape and you just came from sea level. I mean, we did warn the guests about this ahead of time. So I'm on the phone talking them through everything, where the urgent care is, what to do, etc. Thankfully, by day 2, things have calmed down. However, I then take a look at our water cistern gauge that's remotely monitored. This house has what we call a slow well recovery system. Basically, at some times of the year, the well might only produce around 60 gallons per day, instead of the usual 300 plus gallons or more. So we have a 500 gallon water storage system that helps smooth out the demand curves. Basically, once the tank goes below 40%, the well starts pumping, and if the well goes dry, a timer gets started, and it will pump again in 3 hours until the tank is topped off. Now, this system is more than adequate for 6 people in the house. Also, the house has only 1 bathroom, as well as a 40-gallon hot water tank, so it's not like anyone can take long showers. Tactically speaking, we just asked the guests to conserve water, but in the end, the system is fully automatic, and no one even knows that it's there. Well, after 48 hours, I check our tank monitor, and I see that it's around 35% full, which means the guests used all of the storage, plus whatever the well can produce, in 2 days. I'm estimating about 700 gallons of water in total. I literally thought that something must be broken, because there was no way 2 parents and 3 little kids could use that much. I thought perhaps the well fuse popped and they got nothing from the well. So I'm now freaking out, thinking that this nice family was about to be without water. But boy, was I wrong when I found out that these people were scamming us the entire time. So I called the family and I politely asked that they conserve water, and I had them reset the system, which is basically just turning the breaker on and off. I then told the lady on the phone that I was talking to that I would monitor the system for the next 3 hours, and if I didn't see the levels make any progress, I would get a water truck and bring it in. And trust me when I say this, this would literally be a first, as I've never needed to do it. The lady on the phone said to me, "That sounds good, but hurry because we drink a lot of water." Now, honestly, how weird is a comment like that? As if 5 people drinking a gallon a day max somehow equates to the hundreds of gallons missing from the system. Fast forward, and there really is no change in the water level after 3 hours. So I get on the phone to book a water truck. But as it's now only 1 day before Thanksgiving, it's just not happening. So now I need to figure out how to transport water to this house, which is, by the way, about 1.5 hours away. So I went to a farm and tractor supply and bought a 275-gallon tank that would fit in my trunk, plus hoses and pumps. Then I drive up there, figuring out where I can buy bulk water from, and I go to the house. I finally get there at around 4 o'clock p.m., and the guests are out, but gave me permission to go inside and test things out. I mean, I really wanted to make sure the system was working. And while I did find out that it was working, it made me realize that they really did use all of that water. I went inside, and I found 2 huskies in a crate who had soiled themselves, and it was all over the place. It smelled disgusting. The owner said they would be back and finally clean it up. At this point, I've been working on this for 8 hours. I'm sick, it's 10 degrees Fahrenheit outside, and I'm now hooking up the transfer pump. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I still need to get to my parents' house. And thankfully, they're only 30 minutes away from the cabin, so it's not that long of a drive. I start pumping, and then I see their car pull up, and they are waiting at the bottom of the driveway. Knowing they have small kids, I go down and I say hi. I let them know that they can go on in and I'll be done in about 40 minutes. Now, at this point, they started acting really odd. And it's then that I saw two more cars on the side of the road around the switchback. And right at that moment, I finally realized what's going on. The reason I just did all this work and spent nearly $600 on supplies is because these people had 12 people staying there. Now, if you're curious as to how I didn't notice it when I went inside, I didn't snoop around the place. I just went straight to the breaker box and then went to the crawl space where the tanks are. Also, the smell from the dogs was just horrible, so I got out as fast as possible. At this point, I went up to the front door, I knocked on it, and I said, "Okay, be honest with me. How many people do you have staying here?" This lady actually looks at me and says, "We have 9 people," but I could tell that she was lying. But even that number was over our legal capacity based on our permit. I say to them, "You realize that this listing is only for 6 people, right?" This entitled Karen says to me, "Well, there are beds for more people and the kids have a crib. And we didn't know our family wanted to come when we booked it." Now, here's the thing. The loft does have a pullout couch. So best case scenario, there is sleeping for about 8 adults, but I'm guessing people were sleeping on the couches as well. I then said to her, "I just spent $600 plus a full day to solve a problem that was actually not a problem." This entitled Karen actually said to me, "Well, the house should have water. I don't know what to tell you." I responded back by saying, "The house system was designed and tested for 6 people, lady. You know, the stated number on the listing. I don't know how you think it's okay to have this many people here." The entitled Karen then says what I was thinking before I could say it. She says to me, "Well, we could leave, but it will have to be tomorrow, and we expect a full refund because we don't want to drive down these roads in the dark with our kids." And at this point, it's maybe 6 o'clock in the evening at this point. There's no cell phone service at the cabin, so I went to town. I got on Wi-Fi at a local bar and I called the Airbnb. Now, at this point, I had been hosting for 3 months and I had no idea how to handle this situation. But now, I was more afraid that they would damage something in the house. So Airbnb canceled the reservation and asked them to leave the house. Overall, I was able to recover around $200 for a deep cleaning on the house, and thankfully, these people did not get a refund. Wow, those people sound like an absolute nightmare to deal with. Seriously, here you are having this cabin, and you listed it on Airbnb just to try and make some extra money on the side, only to then have this Karen and her stupid family basically try to scam you out of your money. Like, seriously, that is so not okay. Like, this guy went out of his way just to make sure these people had water, while also assuming that his system was broken and things were really bad. That's a lot of stress and money that they spent and had to go through just to find out these people were lying to them the entire time. So honestly, good for you for getting something out of this situation. I am so glad Airbnb had your back on this one, because I think I would have lost my mind if I didn't make money off of that situation. Because these people sound absolutely awful, and there's no good excuse for the way they treated you. If you like Am I the Jerk, you're probably going to love Am I the Genius. Check it out, link down below in the description. Also, go to amithejerk.com/submit if you would like to submit your own stories. My girlfriend of nearly 7 years confessed to me 5 days ago that she cheated on me 2 years into our relationship. And at this point, I seriously don't know what to do. Here's what happened. So I first want to start off by saying that we met on a dating app on Halloween night 2016. I had just turned 21 and had been in only one serious relationship until that point, which had lasted 6 months and ended with me being cheated on, but thankfully she confessed right away. I was definitely looking for a partner and talked to a variety of other potential partners, but we just clicked. We talked for about 2 weeks, but it became pretty obvious that we were very attracted to each other. Mid-November was the first time we met. I drove 2 hours to hang out with her while her mom was away and we hooked up. In the following weeks, she let me know she would be moving an 8-hour drive away. We weren't official at this point, but I did feel strong emotions towards her, so I asked her to be mine the weekend she moved away. I reassured her that I would visit her and that this would all work out. And for the next 2.5 years, we went back and forth visiting each other. I even hopped on a plane for the first time in my life to go see her. We have lived together since summer of 2019, and up until a few days ago, we were finally going to rent out our own spot. I've never suspected that she could be unfaithful because of how she's shown genuine care and support for myself and my family. We have been together for some of the most memorable events of each other's lives. Stuff like graduations, parents' weddings, and vacations. We even adopted 2 cats a few months ago. The last 2 weeks have been especially fun since we started going out places a lot more. For the first time in years, I felt good about where I was in life, and I was super excited looking forward. Fast forward, and Sunday morning was normal. She got up and went to church while while I slept in. I got the call right around noon. She sounded distraught. She said to me, "I really need to talk to you. Can you meet me in the car?" I figured maybe she had an argument with our friend that she usually goes to church with, or some other issue not related to the relationship. When I went to her in the car, she was already sobbing. She said to me, "I love you now more than ever." I don't recall how exactly the words went, but she began explaining to me how on Halloween night of 2018, she went out to an event with two of her coworkers, one guy and one girl. After the event was over, my girlfriend dropped off the girl because her drop-off point was closest. Now, I'm not sure at what point my girlfriend decided to let the guy drive. She claims that she was super tired by now, as it was close to 2 in the morning. She explains to me how she had never had any ideas about this guy or any attraction at all, but he was being really pushy about getting some action. Thinking about what happened next really messes with my head. He convinces her to make out, which she claims was disgusting, and I don't know how long this went on, but once she tried to say enough, he kept pushing for more. Eventually, they hopped in the back seat and things went from there, if you know what I mean. According to her, she started crying not long after things started to get going, which made this guy stop, grab her phone, and block himself on her Snapchat. Now, my girlfriend still worked at the job she worked at for a while, but she says they had zero contact afterwards and would avoid him all the time afterwards. The way I see it, she had so many options, but she chose to cheat on me with someone she wasn't even attracted to. And this is all out of weakness because she couldn't stand up for herself. Now, I do believe her when she says it all came down to her being pressured and confused. She's a super nice person. She's very shy and reserved, and I see how this could have happened back then. But it still doesn't change the fact that it happened, and I've been lied to for the past 5 years. Once it settled in on Sunday night, we talked again, and it ended with me asking for space away from her, which she respected and stayed with her friends for the 2 following nights. On Tuesday, we talked after work and decided to try and work things through. She then moved back in that night. I still feel that I love her, but there's something missing. It's definitely the trust, but maybe more than that. I've woken up from nightmares in the past 2 nights, which is rare for me to even have nightmares in the first place, and they both included themes of being betrayed by her or being made to feel like I'm not enough. I'm struggling to choose where to go from here. I really want it to work, but the trust is broken and I'm not sure if I'll ever get it back. I'm afraid staying with her will end up bad for the both of us. Should I risk the pain of being hurt again or put myself through the pain of letting her go? I haven't told anyone else about this, and honestly at this point, I seriously don't know what to do. This is such an awful situation, but honestly, I don't think it's awful in the ways that you might be thinking. I'm really not convinced that she totally cheated on you. It really does seem like she was forced into that situation, and she's just coming to grips with the fact that she didn't do anything about it at the time. It doesn't seem like this was a willing choice in my opinion, and I think this guy really was doing something super sketchy with your girlfriend. So in my opinion, I don't think this is cheating. Like, she did not seek this guy out specifically. This guy pushed her into doing something she was not comfortable with. She even cried and told him to stop. Like, that doesn't sound like cheating to me. Cheating would be like her going behind your back and doing this without you knowing about it. But it honestly doesn't seem like that's happening at all. Instead, this really sounds like something much more sinister and evil. It's not even funny. And I think your girlfriend is actually the victim of something that happened, instead of a cheater who was going behind your back. So hopefully you can kind of see exactly what's happening right now. Because personally, I am not convinced that your girlfriend actually cheated on you.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Am I the jerk for kicking out my girlfriend and her son after she invited her ex-boyfriend into our home? Here's what happened. To start things out, every name in this story is fake. My girlfriend and I, by the name of Sarah, have been together for 4 years, and she has a son with her ex by the name of Mark. Sarah has full custody of her son, with her ex having scheduled visitations one weekend every month. Sarah and her son moved in with me a little over a year and a half ago, and in my perspective, it was a little rocky at first. I've always been pretty protective of my space, so making room for two other people was difficult for me. When Sarah moved in with me, we both agreed that the visitations for Mark would be held in our apartment as long as I'm home. The main reason I wanted this is because I don't know Mark that well, and I don't want him wandering around our apartment without me there. And when we proposed this idea to Mark, he was fine with it. Now, moving on to the real issue, 3 weeks ago marked 4 months since Mark last visited, so I had asked Sarah when he was planning on visiting his son. My girlfriend replied by shrugging her shoulders and telling me that she would ask him. Well, she never followed up with it. So a few days ago, I asked when Mark's next visit was, and Sarah said she'll tell me when she knew. Sarah's son was also in the living room, but had apparently overheard us and shouted something along the lines of, "Well, Dad was here last weekend, remember?" When her son said this, Sarah's face immediately dropped, and when I asked what he meant by that, she wouldn't give me a direct answer. Eventually, she ended up telling me that for the past two visits, Mark had been to our apartment when I was working. When I accused her of going back on our agreement, she kept telling me this was her home too, and she could invite whoever she wanted, and that it was fine because she was here and watching what he was doing. I told her that was besides the point, and she violated my trust. This then blew up into a huge argument, which ended in me telling her to get out of my apartment. So she packed up and left with her son, and the last I heard, she was staying with her parents. I have since gotten several messages from both Sarah and her parents calling me a jerk for kicking Sarah and her son out of their home over something that was so small. She's even been blasting me on Instagram and Facebook about how horrible I am to do this to her. It's now got me thinking that I might be the jerk in this situation, but I'm honestly not entirely sure yet. So what do you think? Am I in the wrong here? What should I do? Honestly, this is a really tricky situation. For starters, it really does seem like from the outside looking in that you kicked her out over something relatively small. Like, this is the first time you heard about this. It really seems like we went from, okay, you did this behind my back, to suddenly saying, you can't live here anymore. Like, if you ask me, that's a giant leap. You're going from, hey, I'm really not happy that you did this, to suddenly saying, okay, you don't have a place to live anymore. And you know what? I kind of see where Sarah's coming from. She does live there, even though the apartment's yours. She does have a slight claim over that living space just as much as you do. But I can also see your point of view as well. You really don't want Mark there without you present. You simply don't know him, and you feel that it's inappropriate for him to be there without you present as well. Which again, I completely understand where you're coming from here. I wouldn't want this guy wandering around my apartment and judging it or doing stuff to it that I wouldn't know about. Even though I'm sure that didn't happen, but I think you get my point. So with that in mind, I can completely understand why you would be so upset about her doing this behind your back. This was a massive betrayal of trust, and I would be very mad that she did this without talking to me first. Especially after we agreed that that's not how we handle this. Now, I wouldn't be so mad as to kick my girlfriend out of the house, but I would still be disappointed that this happened regardless. So in my opinion, I think this could have been handled really differently. I think there very easily could have been some kind of mutual understanding between the two of you, while also still allowing her to live in your apartment. I think you made a very rash decision, and I think it would be in your best interest if you really want to keep this relationship going, to try and fix this as much as you can. But that's just my opinion. What do you think? Leave a comment down below. Would you have let Sarah stay in your apartment if this happened to you? Or would you be just as angry as the original poster and kick her out of the apartment altogether? Leave a comment down below. We would love to hear what you have to say. Am I the jerk for calling my ex greedy after she came to me begging for money? Here's what happened. I want to start off by saying that all names in this story are fake. I'm a 32-year-old male, and I was married to Emma, who's 32 years old, for almost 8 years. We have known each other practically our whole lives, and we got together towards the end of high school and married when we were in college. Our son was born a year later. We were young, about 21 years old at the time, but I really thought we would be together always. I adored her, and I picked up and moved because she wanted to follow her parents and sister to another state. I worked while she stayed at home with our son. Then, 4 years ago, I thought we were expecting our second child together, but instead I came home to find her with another guy. They were talking about their baby, and she was saying how excited she was to see his little little girl. She told me during the divorce that she was telling him that so he would stay and she knew her daughter was really mine. But DNA proved otherwise, and I rejected any parental responsibility for her daughter. Now, because we were legally married and the actual father was gone, it was tricky to get the courts to sever the automatic parental rights. But in the end, they did. I mean, Emma even put me on the birth certificate. Thankfully, that was erased when I was freed from responsibility towards Emma's daughter. Emma tried so many times to get me back. I have told her each and every time that I would never look at her and love her again. I told her the best thing for her to do is find someone else and leave me alone. We share custody of our son, and he has struggled with everything that's happened. I found a therapist for him when we were going through the divorce, and they check in with each other from time to time. My son had questions that I did my best to answer with a therapist. Questions about whether we will ever get back together again when it comes to me and Emma, while also asking if Emma's my daughter, and also wanting to know why, since he was told that she was mine before the affair was discovered. And Emma even said this afterwards, just to try and make me take her daughter on as well. I pay child support for my son. I also send him over with clothes and stuff I buy for him, because Emma can't afford to clothe him very well. And a judge has said that does not matter in terms of custody. Emma has tried to get me more clothes that a boy or a girl could wear, just so that she can use them for her daughter too eventually. But I simply refused. She also asked me to buy girly toys or to buy gifts for her son to give to his sister. She broke down in front of me a few days ago when we left a meeting for my son's school, and she told me she's struggling and her daughter is growing up seeing her brother have so much more than her, and she feels guilty but she needs my help. She said I'm the only person who could or even would help her out. I ended up calling her greedy while she was pleading for me, and I told her if she wanted stuff for her daughter, then she better chase after her baby daddy and leave me alone, because I will never be responsible for her child. She then started yelling at me, and I just walked away. That night, she sent me a dozen messages saying that I was spiteful towards a child and it made me more of a jerk than her. So honestly, am I the jerk in this situation? What should I do? Honestly, with all things considered and the nightmare that she put you through, I think I would feel the exact same way. Like, she tried to claim this daughter was yours when in reality she was cheating on you. This is all just the result of her actions. And if she doesn't like that, then honestly, that is her problem, not yours. So no, I don't think you're the jerk at all. And sure, what you said is maybe a little bit mean, but I think her cheating on you and ruining your marriage is way worse than anything you said that night. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. To finish listening to all the stories, check out the playlist at the top of the description. And if you want some chill music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, subscribe to Am I the Genius. Everything will be linked down below in the description.